We need our infrastructure, our fire, our EMS, and all these other essential services. Essential, not recreational, essential to people's lives and their livelihoods to be taken care of. These projects have been kicked down the road. I have been in this county for almost 32 years, and I have been hearing the same things for almost the entire time. Quit kicking the can. Our families, our grandchildren need you to do the hard work that you stood in front of your constituents and said, I will do. Thank you, John.
If a government claims a right, and then their claim is that they derive these rights from the people.
Right.
Well, how can people give a group rights that they don't themselves have?
To steal from each other.
Right. If we can't tax people, like I can't tax you, where exactly does government derive this right from? And once you come to, you realize that the goal ought to be as voluntary a society as possible. Now, how exactly you achieve that, how far you can push that is debatable, but certainly that should be the goal. That if government is providing a service for you, well then why does it need to be provided by force?
The natives were restless, and the mama bears were out in numbers at county council Tuesday. These ladies came loaded for bear, and hunting was good at the meeting. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Kershaw County Liberty Report. I'm your host, Jeff Maddox, and I want to give a warm welcome to Miss Amanda Stevens. Those of you who follow us already know Amanda. Amanda has been on the Liberty Report. She's also in one of my videos titled A Star Is Born, where she gave a hard-hitting comment to county council. And I'd like to welcome a homeschooler now, Amanda Stevens. Welcome.
Thank you, Jeff. Good to be here.
Well, you know, it was an exciting night Tuesday, and of course, you spoke, I spoke, and a number of other people showed up.
Yes, absolutely. But first, before we get into the speakers, could we take a moment of silence? I know most people have heard this, but Katie Gwynn's mom just passed away.
Yes, yes. I know how that feels. I lost my mom a couple of years ago and all, and no matter your politics and your feelings and all that, we're all part of the same family.
Absolutely.
And our heart goes out to her and her family as they deal with this.
Absolutely.
She'll be back next meeting, I think.
Yes.
I think that's which is good. You have to get over it and have to move forward and deal with that loss. But all those years with her, the good memories. I have memories that pop up every day of my mom still.
Yeah.
So we got, as most of you viewers already know, a bombshell dropped on us citizens last Friday when the grant for the $10 million matching the ARPA funds and some state revolving funds would have funded a $36 million sewer expansion plant that every county councilman says they were unaware of.
Right.
Were they?
That's the big question.
The big question, isn't it?
But this grant was applied for in September of last year, right?
Yeah.
So that was when the application was, and that was what was in the agenda packet that dropped on us on Friday. That's the bombshell. So
yeah, and it was approved on April
24th
of 2023.
We were actually awarded the grant and made known of that on April 24th.
Before the Woodward Park recreation vote.
Correct.
And before the $3.8 million radio
radios
vote.
Correct.
Both of which are claiming to have the ARPA funds paid for.
That is correct.
So what they're saying is it's a double appropriation. But nobody knew about.
Yep, apparently. That's right. That's right. We spent the money and then we spent it all over again.
Exactly.
Differently.
But we both know, and what we've got here for all of y'all to look at is the clip from the September 22nd meeting when Danny and Jimmy Jones, Danny Templer, the administrator,
right,
and Jimmy Jones go back and forth about. Now, this was in reference to the $2.7 million Southern Loop.
Right.
Because they didn't plan on a big enough pipe and pump to begin with. They had to retrofit and have to put in a new line and a new pump to complete the Southern Loop from 601 down to the sewer plant. And so this is where that discussion came in.
And this is from last year, 2022.
From September 2022.
What are the preliminary cost estimate to expand to a 4 MGD?
Continuing with the IKEA system, which what we have now, not changing the way we do business out there, looking at roughly
$30 million.
$36 million.
$36 million.
And, without a land purchase.
And about a year and a half ago, whatever, when I was talking about 20, 25 million, I was laughed at that it wouldn't be that much, but it's even gone up. So you're looking at about 36 million. How would we pay for that?
You know, we have 6 or $7 million set aside from ARPA. We've gone out and looked at we've applied for a SCIP program, which is a infrastructure improvement program that will be a grant for $10 million. $10.2 million is the max. We have some small amount of money in the fund itself, but we would still probably have, without going out for a bond or going to the taxpayers, we would still probably have a $12 million deficit.
So basically, we've got the Southern Loop you're saying we need to do this bond on, and we know that we're pretty much out of capacity in our checkbook. So what are we going to do? I've got a plan.
Yes, sir.
And it's coming in January or February. And it will make sense for everybody. And that's why I have a hard time spending this money here tonight, when we've already paid for it. And we've got a new council coming on board that may look at things a little bit different when it comes to spending money in our sewer. And I just, I want information for the public so they can be informed.
So that seems pretty clear.
Yeah, he says it right there that they applied for a grant, $10 million.
Right? To pay for a $36
million sewer.
Sewer improvement.
Yep.
And Jimmy Jones acknowledges that. And that's what really gets me is Jimmy saying that he didn't know about it now. And there were three other councilmen that are on council right now that were present at that meeting that also say they do not know about it.
You have Sammy, Brandt, and Russell. We're all sitting there and listening to those comments as well, right?
Yes, yes. And at the same time, the same time frame and all, is when the CARES group comes on. The Kershaw, I don't even remember
what the acronym is.
Yeah, Kershaw Parents for Recreation or some kind of thing like that.
Right.
All focused on Woodward Park and travel baseball.
Right.
And they all targeted the ARPA funds.
Right.
So, Russell, Sammy, Brant, and Jimmy were all aware that this grant had been applied for.
Based on the September 22 meeting.
Based on the
Danny Templer's comments saying he applied for a grant.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So now, did the public know any of that when They spoke at council Tuesday night. Did we know anything about all the September? I had already done a little bit of homework.
You had done the homework. I think that's the difference, right? The only thing that we were made aware of is in the agenda packet was right. the grant application, right? So it had the dates on it. That was the only reason I, you know, even knew about that September date was because the grant application was in the agenda packet, and it was dated. And it didn't even have the award approval. That got added in the meeting itself. So we didn't even know if we were granted it and awarded the grant until the meeting, because that documentation wasn't even in the agenda packet.
Yeah, yeah. And apparently what was said is it was accepted on June 6th.
Yes. Yeah, that's when signature for accepted was June 6th.
Yeah, yeah. And the county administrator, Danny Templer, wrote the signed the acceptance and sent it off after a couple of phone calls to the grantor that said that we no longer have the $9.9 million from the ARPA because our priorities have changed.
Priorities have changed. That was the quote.
But we still want $10 million.
Yeah, but still give us the grant, please.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the meeting that's scheduled for Tuesday, right? We'll find out if we actually get to have the grant without having a match.
Danny is supposed to meet, him and his sidekick are going to meet with the grantors to find out if there's a way we can still get to $10 million with all the ARPA funds going to the recreation department.
Right.
And they'll do a little bit of something, maybe to the sewer plant.
Right. Maybe.
Yeah. Or maybe to something else.
We'll see. So, but the receipts are all there. All the dates are, all the documents are dated. We have all the receipts.
Yeah.
And you can pull the video clip, so.
Yeah. And
hard to argue with facts.
And so, before the meeting, what happened?
Before the meeting.
Yeah, because they didn't even start a meeting.
They started the meeting by amending the agenda, right, to include the award grant in the documentation and to add an executive session before we even started anything in the meeting.
Right, right.
Yeah.
It's to get ahead of everything.
Right. So we weren't even allowed to do public comments until after they came
right,
back.
Right, right. Until they had already settled the issue. It's interesting when I was kind of talking with Jimmy about it, how they were talking about, Jimmy said, I had to push to get this onto the agenda so that the public would know about it.
Absolutely.
Instead of being swept under the rug.
And do an executive session at some other point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know how they like to do these executive sessions and they come out and we know nothing.
Nope.
Like previously there was a special call meeting for a legal issue of a probable suit.
Oh.
And we don't know anything about it.
Nope.
Or when
we
they go
rely
do
on their word.
Yeah, or when they go into these executive sessions for Project Orion or Project Snow White or one of these fee and lieu agreements where we have no clue, and they'll go through one reading and two readings and title only and project this and that, and then on the third reading there's a public hearing and you have no idea what the hell to go up there and talk about.
Right, because we're kept in the dark about so much.
Yeah.
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 We really only had one reading of the budget.
But that's it.
Yep.
That is exactly right. So after they come out of executive session, we have Derek Shoemake, who is the only attorney, really, the lead attorney. Brant Thomason's an attorney too. But he gives way to Derek Shoemake, who is Ben Connell's mini-me, to explain to us what happened in the executive session and the timeline of the grant.
One of the things that we discussed in there was the grant awards. I think a lot of folks in here are perhaps in here for as well. So I'm going to give my sort of two cents on it. I know the administrator's going to brief us. So here's sort of the analysis as I see it. Back in 2022, the then Crenshaw County Council applied for a grant, and the grant was for $10 million. At the time, we had approximately $9.9 million committed to sewer and ARPA. That was noted in the grant, as was the fact that we would procure an SRF loan, State Revolving Fund, a loan of about $12,400,000. So the three buckets of money would be the $10 million grant, the $9.9 million in ARPA, the $12.4 and change in SRF. Between then and now, obviously we've been through some changes, and I'm not going to get into the whole sewer discussion. We've had that before, but there's been some priority changes on council as to the money that was allocated to sewer. The first of that being $3.5 million that was moved over to radios for first responders, and then the other money that was moved in the last meeting for recreation, for the ambulance, for a number of other things. So after that meeting, the grant was actually received, because these things can take some time. And the grant that was received and signed for is a grant that was received and signed for. The special conditions that state that the funds are contingent on approval of SRF funds necessary to complete the project. Again, those SRF funds are a separate bucket, and I'm going to leave it to the administrator to discuss that, but it's my understanding that in his conversations with the folks who control the SRF, that SRF funds are almost certainly not available to us. So even if the ARPA funds were there, the SRF funds would not be, which is a condition precedent to getting any grant money. So, you know, the way I see this is, you know, the grant issue, I mean, it almost certainly should have been addressed in first or second reading, and it wasn't. But again, it doesn't change. What it doesn't change is the fact that the grant award is contingent on those SRF funds as well as ARPA funds. So based on the legal opinion that we did get, there's no, we have the ability to modify that. And I also understand that the county administrator has a meeting with these grant folks to potentially modify that in light of what our priorities have changed to. So again, I want to be as direct as I can without inserting personal opinion, which I certainly have some of those, but I think, Mr. Chairman, I think that's a fair summary of what occurred. And with that, I may have some opinions, but I think I'll just leave that summary there.
Very good. Mr. Tucker.
So what we find out here is that Mr. Shoemake is telling us that they voted on the radios, they voted on Woodward Park,
right,
and then the grant approval came in. And that's not factual.
That's not what happened.
At all.
Yeah.
So is he mistaken? Or is he telling a mistruth?
No one will know but him and God. But we have the receipts. We have the documentation of the award that says the date on it, which is April. And we have the minutes that show when they approve the radios and the recreation. So,
the storyline right here is that if we had known about it, it might have been
different. Yes.
But now we've already made this decision, and oops, that's what I feel that is happening. And I think as an attorney, he would have looked at that piece of paper and said, huh, April. Now, the problem with this is that we keep coming back to is that it was mentioned in September of 22, and we have not heard a thing since.
Nothing about it until Friday's agenda packet dropped.
Yeah.
Yep.
Why is that, when you would think that Danny Templer, when he got the approval of it in April 22nd or 24th, whenever
April 24th,
it was.
April 24th, 2023.
It would have been an email blast out.
I mean, that was the beginning of the budget conversation. That should have at least gone to the Finance Committee. At least.
And so there was no choice to be made there.
Right.
Now, is this incompetence or is this malfeasance? Is it just ignoring it? And then we have the problem with Derek saying this when he is a competent attorney who goes by the letter of the law. Mm-hmm. Why is he telling this half-truth? So then we got Sammy. And Sammy comes in to back up Derek's little rant.
Mr. Tucker. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to echo just a little bit what Councilman Shoemaker was saying, and I want to do the timeline, just making the audience and citizens aware that when we did meet earlier with the Finance Committee, this information was not available because we were not awarded. So it was not included into our discussion. And as he stated, some things have changed because we've reobligated some monies from ARPA that the county administrator was getting the award of the SCIP grant and has not had time to have a conversation with those folks over at the state. So my heavy recommendation tonight is going to be kick this night down to the Finance Committee, allow us with the administration to get some answers on some recommendations that he's going to recommend tonight, and then we'll have a plan come the 27th of June. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tucker.
So, right there, Sammy says, it never entered the conversation. We never got anything at Finance.
We weren't awarded. That's the key right there you just said. We hadn't been yet awarded.
Yeah, and we know that that's not true.
Yeah.
And we know that Sammy was aware of this whole procedure since 2021 and up until 9/22, September of 22, when the discussion between Danny and Jimmy happened. Right. He knew that the application for the grant had been put in and all that. So why wasn't this brought up in the budget, in the Finance Committee meetings? And now they're excusing it away. I didn't know. Everybody look somewhere else.
Right.
So then we have, then Danny comes in to explain the history of the ARPA funds, how they got allocated to the sewer department, and what's happened in his timeline. Everybody's got kind of a same, but not the same story.
Similar.
Yeah.
So just to clarify a few things on my end, this in 2021, there was a resolution to allocate ARPA funds towards sewer. So this has taken us back to the previous council. And at the time, there was the will of that council to heavily invest in sewer with ARPA. So that, based on that notion, that's we have a 2 million gallon upgrade we need to do at the plant. Is it something we need to do tomorrow? No, but it's something that math is imminent, and we're going to have to do it at some point. And whether we do it in phases or all at once is a different discussion. So with that, under that current administrator or council, we applied for SCIP grants to allow us to get closer on what I think is about a $38 million project with $10 million in SCIP money. At the time, we did have the 9.9 allocated in our budget as a line item, and we had a $12 million shortfall. So the goal there was to go out for an SRF loan. This is a large project. According to the state, this is a high-risk project because we are not just putting pipes in the ground, we are putting added capacity to our wastewater treatment facility. Now, facilities are a much different project because that's where everything happens. Not a conveyance system, it's a processing system, and there's a lot going on there. So this created a high risk, which they knew this, but they ultimately awarded us this grant. After that, we decommitted or appropriated ARPA funds to radios and things of that nature. There was we had second reading to appropriate the money for rec funds. So with that in mind, I ultimately reached out to the state to let them know that the numbers on our application and our budget summary were no longer accurate. So with that, we didn't know what would be there. We didn't know what our ability was to replace those numbers. As sewer is one of our most robust departments we have in terms of revenue. So there is true capacity there for that. So we just didn't understand at the time which way we were going. We sought guidance from the state. They told us to go ahead and submit. We submitted electronically with an email caveat that our operational goals have changed, but we still wanted this money because we still have sewer upgrades to do. Southern Loop at the plant itself. We've got lift stations, so there's plenty of opportunity to spend $10 million on our sewer. So with that, they said there was some wiggle room, if you will, in this. So we asked if we could set up a meeting, which is happening Tuesday, to reassess our priorities and see if we can keep this money and update and modify our application with a project and with a updated figures that are truly reflective. My concern was that I did not want to take this money on false pretenses by saying we had $9.9 million in ARPA set aside when I knew we did not. So they appreciated that, and I notified the finance committee at our last meeting on Monday, and this is where we're at right now. So happy to answer any questions.
So even after the approval came in, Mr. Templer waited to tell anybody and let the vote for Woodward Park and the radios go through to spend the money before he ever dropped the fact that we had a grant approved to do what we could do with the sewer plant, to double the capacity of the sewer plant with no new taxes, and the amount of money that is coming in and made on the sewer plant would have paid the loan from the state revolving fund.
Yeah.
Now, if we move forward, at some point we have to expand the capacity. It's been known for years.
Yes.
If they go to expand capacity now with no ARPA funds and no grant money, and at the inflation rate that we have now, a $35 million plant will cost $45, $55, $60 million, depending on how far they kick the can down the road again.
Right.
And instead, we're going to build ballparks.
Yep. We're just going to stick our head in the sand and pretend that there aren't issues and look at the pretty ball fields.
Yeah, it's going to be wonderful. And the tourism. The tourism is crazy. Then, after Danny gives his little speech, Russell Brazel, who is the main pusher of the Woodward Park recreation thing, if you guys remember right, he slipped that in as a vote that wasn't illegal, but it was never listed
and was never supposed to be a vote. It was supposed to be a discussion only, right? And he came with a motion prepared,
right?
Yep.
Right, and came prepared, and then through the question on another piece of paper to each councilman as they walked in the door.
Right. Yep.
So bamboozled them and all. So now Russell goes into a little spiel to justify not spending any money on the sewer department.
Any questions?
Yes.
Go ahead, Mr. President.
A small bundle full, sir.
Go ahead, sir.
Mr. Administrator, is it true that our operation, our sewer operation, operates without tax dollars?
It's fee-based, yes, sir.
So no citizen pays any sort of tax that goes into that fund. Is that true?
True.
Okay. Is it also true that the system operates at about 45% capacity currently on a day-to-day basis?
Of actual flow, it'd be roundabout. I don't know for sure, but it's not at capacity. We're not at 2 million gallons actual flow.
In your professional opinion, what would be the driving factor for us to double the capacity of the sewer?
Absolutely, growth.
Needed growth or growth that's coming whether we like it or not?
I would say the latter, not the former.
You know, I've heard a lot of things from a lot of people, a lot of good friends, a lot of neighbors, a lot of constituents. And the most pressing issue in Kershaw County is not a need for sewer. It's a need for quality built homes. It's a need for homes that are built in reasonable zoning ordinances. And I think that's something this council is working on. I think it's something this council is very keen to. So I'm in no rush to build a bigger sewer plant to enable outside agencies, outside developers, to ravage Kershaw County.
So what Russell is trying to do here is confuse what's actually going into the plant and what's been promised. And the promise is called the checkbook. And he's saying that we're only using 45% of our capacity, so we don't need to expand, but they've promised 1.9, which is 95% of their capacity, which the government, the federal government, says that when you reach 95% of the capacity, you've got to expand. So now he's saying, well, we don't have to expand, but if they don't expand, they're going to run into trouble with the federal government. They're going to run into trouble with the state government. And then he talks about that the taxes, the taxpayers don't even pay for this. The people on the sewer pay for it. And that is true right now, but it wasn't true a year and a half. It wasn't true 10 years ago. All those fees, those taxes, were paid by people on septic systems and all that are in this special district for the sewer department. So now, if we don't do it now with monies that the sewer people, the people on sewer, will pay for out of a $1.5 million income revenue coming through there. If we don't do all this right now, in 5 years, in 3 years, whenever they have to expand, everybody, that tax is going to come back and it's going to be even more than it was before. Because now the plant's going to cost $40 million, $50 million, $60 million.
Inflation. Yep.
So then Jimmy Jones jumps in with his last remarks on the executive session part of it. Right. And you guys listen to this psychobabble.
Kershaw County, what I do know, I'm just going to say some facts here, okay? Kershaw County accepted a $10 million grant from the state of South Carolina on June 6, 2023. Or sewer plant expansion without any knowledge of county council. And this is it right here. Kershaw County was awarded a grant for $10 million by the state on April 24th, 2023 without any knowledge of county council. Kershaw County committed to use almost $10 million in ARPA funds for the expansion without any knowledge of county council. County Council voted to use $6 million ARPA funds for ball fields and use ARPA funds for to buy public safety radios. Kershaw County has double committed ARPA funds without council's knowledge. Let me make myself clear on this. There was no misappropriation. No misappropriation has taken place because the money has not been spent or appropriated yet. But, and I'm sure they'll work with us on that when you go over there Tuesday. But however, this gives us, you know, our integrity, our reputation is everything. And I think this gives us a huge, great big black eye for Kershaw County and a poor way of doing business. And I think we should have known earlier. I think we should have been made aware of this. So even though Mr. Shoemaker is absolutely right, everything said, all these things have to be worked out, but they were committed. They were committed. The County Council had no knowledge of that. And at least I didn't, some of the rest of them they have. But what we're faced with now, we got a $10 million for $10 million. We'll have $6 million for $6 million. And this council will have to make a decision. I would have rather the contract, and not, I would rather the grant award not be signed. You know, that was signed on the 45th day. Was it 45th day?
Yes. We waited because we needed clarification. So I signed it on the 6th and submitted it on the 9th because of the clarification.
But then you also knew that we had recommitted the money.
Yes, I did. That's why I made the call over there.
So Jimmy is throwing Danny under the bus, throwing everybody under the bus here, that he didn't know anything about it. Nothing's been included. Nothing illegal happened here, which it didn't. We
because
haven't.
The money's technically not spent yet, right? That's yeah, my point.
Yeah, nobody's spent any money. Nobody's allocated any money until that final budget goes in. Nothing has happened.
Right.
They're just planning it to happen.
Correct.
So, Jimmy says nobody knew anything about it, but Danny comes back and points out that, yeah, you did. It was in the budget proviso.
Mr. Jones, also, if I may, that this grant is outlined in our proviso of the current budget. It is part of our budget package. Department 400 SCIP, an SRF loan, $10 million, no continuation, $2.5 million match, no FTEs, and no cost of FTEs. It's the last line on page 19 for our current budget ordinance that we're.
And let me just say this too, and I appreciate it, and I get that, but what I can tell you that I know is that we knew nothing about it. And we are obligated to address it now because it hasn't been signed, and we've got to move forward.
So, right here, Danny says, look, it was in it.
It's in the budget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And nobody, this is kind of like, what is it, when Nancy Pelosi and all that, and read the bill, mm-hmm. You got to pass it in order to find out what's in it.
That's right.
It's the same thing. The utter incompetence. I keep coming back to them, and I told them this in council comments. I said, you know, this is why I became an anarchist, because in no way, shape, or form have I found anything that any government has done. Well-intentioned it might be, but it becomes a disaster. It creates more problems than it was there to solve in every case. And so this is a fine example of it. One hand didn't know what the other hand did and don't remember who said what, and everybody running after free dollars.
Yeah.
And the influential people in higher places and good connections plotted and planned since 2021, when this money was earmarked for sewer, to get it into recreation.
Yep.
I just believe this in my heart of hearts that was the plan from the beginning, and it started being implemented in September of 2022 when CARE showed up, and then Russell had his little girl do the little speech, and they had multiple people come in there promoting this Woodard Park travel baseball, travel baseball park. Yep. And then what was the other one? It was travel baseball and tourism and the children.
Yes, it's for the kids.
It's for the kids. So,
I mean, you said it in your public comments too. It's about trust. Nobody trusts them anymore. And at this point, I mean, we have the facts. We have the data backing up everything we're saying. It's all in front of us. And they're still not being truthful, which is what I covered in my comments.
Exactly.
It's about the truth. It's about making sure that the people know the truth, because our government is lying to us and trying to hide when they got found out.
Yeah. Or even if they're very incompetent, they try to cover up their mistakes.
They lie again to cover it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One lie begets another lie, begets another lie.
So who knows how many layers deep this goes.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Until we start peeling back the layers, we're never going to find out.
So that was basically the executive session where they excused away and obfuscated and oh well and that kind of thing.
Our priorities have changed is essentially what it rolls down to, right?
Yep. And so all the people that were there and upset about what was going on, I've now got a double whammy of bamboozlement before the meeting. And so now they have to kind of think themselves before their public comments.
Yeah, there were a lot of folks in the audience that were kind of reworking their statements that they had written before, because the executive session was before the public comments, so we didn't have a chance to talk yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they've been notorious about doing executive sessions for various reasons at particular times to really to discourage people from either staying there.
Interesting.
Or changing
the tone or something.
Yeah, changing the tone, because there have been times when the people were aggravated as all get out. And then there would be an executive session of an extended period of time to come back, and then come back before a critical vote to calm the thing down.
Calm the room
and
down.
And get people out of there before the vote happens.
Interesting.
So they use that as a tool too. Now, the public comments, everybody got 5 minutes. I think there was 10 people?
10 people signed up to speak.
Yeah, and so we can't really go through a 5 minutes of everybody. And so we put a compilation in. I encourage everybody to go back to Kershaw County's YouTube page. You can kind of scroll through it, and you can tell when the public comments is on there.
Yeah.
Just sit there and listen to what the people say, because it says it all.
Yeah, there were a lot of great comments that night.
Oh my goodness. I was so happy to see it. It was finally, you know, occasionally there's an issue that brings people out where, generally speaking, there's only one or two of us out there speaking.
Yep.
And so when you get a load of them in there, it's like, oh, great day. This is so nice.
Finally, we can help.
Yay!
Let's talk about this grant situation.
In a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. Lies and secrets prevent someone from seeing the problem and addressing it. Truth is the only thing that can help. They say shine a light on things and the truth will come out, and that's why I'm here today.
I think there are serious questions that need to be answered about the priorities placed by so many council members who ran as common sense fiscal conservatives that don't appear to be making common sense, logical, and fiscally sound decisions about their stewardship of the taxpayers' money.
We need our infrastructure, our fire, our EMS, and all these other essential services essential not recreational, essential to people's lives and their livelihoods to be taken care of.
If we build it, they will come. Well, that's good for, you know, a movie script. But it's not good for a county that has tight budgets, limited budgets, and priorities for the citizens of the county.
This field, this ball field, as I understand, is for travel ball. Mostly people that don't even reside in this county. And I agree that that's an overextension of funds and monies for something that has to be maintained after it's constructed.
So do we want to do that again when there are priorities for these funds to be spent for the citizens of Kershaw County, not for a few, and for a few that might come to a tournament once or twice a year?
Why do we keep doing this? We have plenty of infrastructure issues that need to be addressed, and as Amanda Stevens stated, they need to be completed. So why isn't that the priority of fiscal conservatives? But I think this is honestly the appearance of a serious malfeasance of fiscal responsibility on the part of the council and a complete misallocation of funds that can be better utilized in much needed infrastructure repairs throughout the county.
These projects have been kicked down the road. I have been in this county for almost 32 years, and I have been hearing the same things for almost the entire time. Quit kicking the can.
We can go through who's to blame, you know, who knew what, when they knew it, how they knew it, whether it was withheld, but none of that is going to accomplish anything at this point.
So we the people, myself included, now we'll have to make you see where you're misstepping and help you fix it. Here I am, bringing the receipts and asking why you think I'm working against you. At the end of the day, I'm bringing transparency regarding the Kershaw County government. I'm working for the taxpayer, aren't you?
Plus, the resolution in 2021, the ARPA was supposed to go to the sewer. How can that resolution be ignored when it was passed? Maybe not by this body, but it is on record. That is my one question that I added.
It leads you to draw the conclusion that it is a complete and utter, you know, incompetence? Or could it be willful ignorance and malfeasance? I don't know.
So as you can tell from that compilation, people had a lot to say.
Absolutely.
And that's just a little bit of what was there. So again, I encourage you to go look at that. Now, there was a little bit more rigmarole in the meeting, and they voted for this ordinance and that ordinance to change a tax map.
Couple planning and zoning changes. Yeah.
So, you know, those are things that you can kind of look at, but it doesn't have any significant meaning. So in the end, they have county briefings. And they started this one off with Danny Cato.
Yep.
And Danny, the last meeting that I was at, a couple of meetings ago, he called most everybody in the audience a liar because of the things that we said that we knew were true, that he said we were lying about. And listen to this, Danny does it all over again.
I heard a lot of comments tonight, and we said this before. There's a lot of things that we need to look at. There's a lot of false narratives to some of the things that was said tonight, and there's no way to really help people understand all the truth, I guess you could say. And it's there's a lot of things that. That I heard tonight that does raise a lot of questions with me. There's a lot of things we said tonight that I have concern on. But there's a lot of things also just being told out in the community that are not true. They're just not true. and it's a false narrative. So be careful what you believe, and be careful what you're being told, because some of it is just not true. But again, I'll say this, I'll continue to say this, I won't do anything that I think is going to be detrimental to Kershaw County. I want to make Kershaw County a better place for our kids, for our families, and this is where I live, this is where my family lives, I have family all over the county, not just my district. And I do stand up for my district, because I feel like that's what I'm supposed to do, and I feel like my district's been left out more than any. So I'm looking out for them on a lot of decisions I make, because that might be the only way we can get anything.
I wonder what it is that he thinks is just not true. He never told us that.
No, he never explained. Yeah. He leaves that out there for you to decide. But what he's saying is, believe me.
It sounds a lot like misinformation.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like Dr. Fauci.
Yeah. Misinformation.
Yeah, or the CDC.
Take a pick.
Then you got, then Brant Tomlinson came up, and the only thing he said was, I thank you for this, and I thank them people for that, and I thank, you know, just same babbling bullcrap of a politician. But then we get to I think Schumach is the next one. We're just about done with this. Let's see who this is. I think this is.
Disagreement. I've had discussion.
Yeah. So then we get to Mr. Schumach, Derek Schumach, which is, again, that attorney that told us the timeline that wasn't correct.
Mm-hmm.
So in his little closing briefings, he has this to say.
That's with many of the folks who spoke one-on-one, but it's always been respectful. And like, again, I really do, to the extent my son is civically here invited because he's 16, the importance of being civically involved and staying engaged is critical. And to that end, I have no other comments other than to say this. I have a lot of comments I can make on this, but I'm going to be,
So he's trying to say, oh, I appreciate everybody
coming
in. Yeah, yeah, I'm glad you guys are engaged.
Keep being engaged. Yeah. We can agree to disagree.
Yeah. That's what they all say all the time. Yeah,
agree to disagree. Except the thing that they always forget is, as a politician, you don't get to do that. Your job is to do the opinions of your constituents. You don't get to agree to disagree.
Yeah. It's interesting to me always that people believe that politicians represent them.
Yeah.
I can't figure that out. No. How does a politician represent 10 people?
Yeah.
Or 20 or 30 or 100,000? You know, like Lindsey Graham, that's a statewide election. That's 3 million people.
Yep.
How does he represent 3 million people? And did 3 million people sign on to him going to Ukraine to give away money and saying it's a good thing we're killing Russians?
You would hope that if he were doing it, that a majority of his constituents would have agreed to that, but I'm pretty sure that that's safe to say they do not.
I doubt it. So, Sammy Tucker comes up. He doesn't have much to say either. But then Russell, the main man behind the push for this whole recreation Woodard Park thing, has his little 2 cents in. You know, he's become, I think he figured out, or somebody told him, that you catch more flies with honey than vinegar. Because, boy, he has been sweet of late.
I'll tell you, I think we live in the best county in the state. I love Kershaw County, born and raised here. I did a little bit of quick math. I think there's 70,000 people. Mr. Temple, is that how many people live here?
68,000
people. We've got about 1,800 houses on our sewer system. Is that right?
Approximately.
2.5 people per house. What's the average?
They go by residential units, and I
can't remember, but it's...
It's roughly 4,500 people get the privilege of being on a sewer system, not having to have their septic tank problem. That's about 6% of the population. So I'll say this. We're a rural county. We'll never get sewer everywhere. Sewer is an economic development stronghold, and our county knows that, and we value being able to expand it, especially for that reason. I think to Mr. Shoemaker's point, I appreciate the talking points regarding high density development. I haven't talked to anybody in Kershaw County, not one person that says, gee, I love those houses where you can reach out and touch the next one. That's basically what he's talking about. So let the record show, we are doing the work of the people. We do care about the people. We can't satisfy everyone in all areas, nor would I ever try to myself, because I would fail miserably. But what I want to say is, everybody on this council cares about Kershaw County. And I think in different ways, we express how we care. Yes, I think we are fiscally conservative. This is the first budget that I know that I'll be able to vote for. It's no tax increases. This is my third budget, and this will be the first one that I support. So I want to thank everybody for that. One more point that I'd like to make. Still talking about the sewer sum, Mr. Administrator. I look for solutions. When I'm at work, when I'm at home, when I'm with my family, if there's an issue, I try to be a solution provider. And I know you have an opportunity next week to rectify the situation with the grant, potentially save it, restructure our application. And I just ask you, find us a solution to the problem so we can move forward in a positive manner. And that's what I think politicians should do. Just backbiting and fighting and fussing and, you know, going at one another and being at one another's throats, I'm over it. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not fighting. I love everybody up here. I can tell you that right now. I love every one of you being here. Thank you for being here. Thank you for caring enough to be here. But I'll say, Danny, bring us a solution. And then, council, let's provide a solution for the citizens together. That's all I had to say. Thank you.
Yeah, there's a couple of points here. So the first one, I love how he tried to do some quick math to show that it's not that many people that are on sewer, so you guys can't use that as an argument, right? And the key that he misses here is that they're talking residents, they're talking houses. That's how many people live here. That completely takes out the fact of all the businesses that all of those residents go and frequent, and all those businesses are all on sewer.
Yeah.
And all those businesses rely on their sewer systems not backing up in order to function.
Yeah.
So.
And the other thing is, he's saying that if we don't expand the sewer, we're not going to have houses that you can reach out and touch the other house with.
Right. Right. Well, and I think he's referring back to the point, and that was one of the comments that was Derek's working on zoning agreement changes and all that, and I do appreciate that, because he was looking at, you know, how big of a plot of land you could put a house on, right? So he's reviewing all of those zoning requirements. And I think that was Russell's point here, was we're working for the people because we're making sure we don't have these developments that have houses right next to each other, because Derek's going through the rezoning.
And, you know, everybody in the Westwatery especially, and some in Camden, are talking about, oh man, look at all these crazy subdivisions.
The growth is insane this area here.
And Brant Tomlinson and I had a nice discussion the other night about all this, but when we were talking about building and all, I told him that my way of thinking as a former developer and home builder, that the developer ought to be forced to pay for what he does with
infrastructure.
What he does with poo-poo.
Yeah, infrastructure. Any infrastructure that the developer is affecting by building those huge housing developments, he should be paying for it.
Yeah, and you can call it an impact fee if you want to.
Right.
But what I would do is, if he's got an 800-acre subdivision that he wants to put 12,000 houses on or whatever, you say, okay, that's no problem. But you got to dig a ditch from here to the sewer plant, and you have to put in all the pumping stations and all that. We're not paying for it.
Yeah.
You have to pay for it. I don't care how you do it. And the developer will add that up and say yay or nay. And if he says nay, then he's got to fall back on either doing some sort of waste treatment plant right there, or he goes to septic system. If he goes to a septic system, he's going to have a bigger lot.
Bigger lots. Yep.
So you let the free market decide for it and not have the government in on it.
Exactly.
My girlfriend.
So I think the key with that Russell comment was, we're still working for you, right? We're doing the zoning agreements. We're going through all this, making sure the builders can't put these developments in with the houses that are touching each other. So we're still working for you,
yeah.
Right? Even though we're going to pass this $6 million recreation thing that we want.
Yeah, and this is his way of saying, you need to pat me on the back.
Yes, I'm doing for, a job for you.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a obfuscation. It's a shell game.
Correct. Look over here. Don't look over here.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And again, instant gratification over long-term infrastructure and all that.
Right.
They want something pretty for everybody to look at and vote for. Look at what we've done in the last 10 years or so. We built the Swamp Park, the Veterans Park down
Veterans
there.
Park.
We got the Elgin Community Park down there. That was... $475,000 just to put that little gravel thing and a little walkway around the pond. A company out of Florida had to come all the way up here because the top three were out of South Carolina. The highest bids were in South Carolina, and Georgia had a lower one, and some company in Florida had an even lower one. So the companies in South Carolina, why are they so high compared to a company that's got to haul all their equipment from Georgia to get up here?
Yeah.
None at all. But you could see this recreation plan, the recreation at Veterans Park, you don't ever see anybody down there.
There's nobody there. I was just going to say that. I don't see anybody there.
No. The community park down in out there on White Pond and Whiting Way, there's hardly anybody ever there either.
I didn't
either.
Even know it was there.
Yeah, it's hiding back there. It's a pretty place. Don't get me wrong. It's a pretty place. But nobody uses it.
Right.
It's not going to be used very much. So in the end, Russell is spending money, voted for money, pushed money that's free coming manna from heaven and using it for stuff just for a few people to play baseball.
Yep.
Doesn't make any sense. But we're supposed to pat them on the back for it. So, since Katie Gwynn was with her mom and all, Jimmy Jones was the sitting chair. He's vice chair, so he's conducting the meeting. And as such, he waits till last to do his
council briefing.
And so Jimmy's always one to make sure everybody knows that he's for the people.
Well, one thing I am, I've been here 17 years, my fifth term, and I've always fought for the truth and transparency. And Martin, you know that. Yeah, you do know it. And he just raises his eyebrow. But bottom line is, it is the truth. I have, and you know, that we can be, I don't know if this was the case, I don't think we can be right on something, but the perception is that we're wrong with the public, we're wrong. We gotta communicate, we gotta make sure everybody understands. And I stand by my position with this sewer grant. I stand by it. Mr. Chaplin, I'm looking very forward to hearing your thoughts when you come back. That's on the third because bottom line, it is an opportunity, it's $10 million. And I would hate to see that just thrown out. But anyway, transparency and the truth. And I wish you'll keep everything in front of the folks. And the one lady up here spoke tonight, she'll speak about the truth. And if you're telling the truth, even if it's ugly, it's the truth, but how can you go wrong? I've heavy said that I pray for her, pray for Madam Chair to be back at the next meeting.
So what is his position?
On the sewer?
Yeah.
Well, up until this meeting, it was privatizing it, right? I think everybody knows Jimmy Jones for knowing privatized the sewer system. But where does he go? I mean, I don't really know, because at this point you're making a decision between recreation, which nobody wants, and sewer upgrade, which we know he doesn't want. I mean, I think you picked the lesser of the two evils, and I hate saying that because I hate thinking that we only have two awful options to choose from.
Yeah.
But we really do.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But he says here that he doesn't want to lose the $10 million grant.
Right.
So he wants something done.
I think he has to go with the sewer at this point. I mean, you can't go for the recreation. The people don't want it. Mm. Nobody wants it except for the people that are on that council.
Jimmy's not going to vote for this budget.
Right.
I don't know that he's voted for a budget since he's been in.
Really?
Ever. For whatever reason, you know. There's been times when he's put things into the budget that he was advocating for.
Right.
And then not voting for the budget.
The
because
whole budget.
Yeah, because Never. Of other things. But I don't think he's ever voted. Oh, we got a wasp. That must be one of the council members. Sent a wasp after. But so he wants his cake and have it and eat it too a lot of times. But you notice Russell said that he hadn't voted for a budget in the first 2 years he was here, but this one he's going to because it's no tax increases. That ain't why.
No.
He would have voted for it even if there were tax increases, as long as it had the $6 million ARPA fund for recreation.
Correct.
That's the only thing he cares about at this point. He's got too many friends with little kids who play baseball.
Right.
And that's the only reason it is. So, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to tell you. This is your county council. Are they telling you the truth? That thing is going to get me yet.
Now it's going to get you angry.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you, they sent them to attack us. So, who do you trust?
Well, you look for the receipts. You look for the receipts. That's the only way to get through all of the, you know, swamp that's in Kershaw County.
How about if county council, knowing that this was a snafu, whether you agree on recreation or sewer or whatever, everybody can agree that this didn't work like it's supposed to.
No, yes, agreed.
But they don't know what happened.
Even they admit that it did not look good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what if they appointed some people for a citizens' inquiry board?
Great idea.
To explore and find out and investigate what took place so that in the future we don't do the same stupid thing again.
Yeah.
I think that would be very important and give them access to the documentation to interviewing councilmen, administrators, whoever they need to interview.
To find out what happened.
To find out what happened.
Transparency is the only thing that's going to fix any of this.
That's what we kept
truth
keep
and
saying.
Transparency.
Yep. And that's why we speak truth to power.
Amen.
Amanda, thank you for coming to the Liberty Report.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jeff.
Till next time, boys and girls. Peace.
If a government claims a right, and then their claim is that they derive these rights from the people.
Right.
Well, how can people give a group rights that they don't themselves have?
to steal from each other.
Right, if we can't tax people, like I can't tax you, where exactly does government derive this right from? And once you come to, you realize that the goal ought to be as voluntary a society as possible. Now, how exactly you achieve that, how far you can push that is debatable, but certainly that should be the goal. That if government is providing a service for you, well then why does it need to be provided by force?